Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the ministry in song tonight. Can I just say to your pastor and to the oversight of the church, I'd like to thank you very much for the invitation to come over tonight to minister the word of God to you. I count it a privilege. I would prefer just to be sitting where you're sitting, mind you, because I enjoy your pastor's ministry thoroughly. And it has been a blessing and an encouragement to our souls as we have come week by week. But it's good to see you out tonight. And I want you to turn to the scriptures. We want to take the rest of the meeting to take a look at the Word of God. The portion of scripture that I want to be speaking from tonight will be taken from the New Testament. It is the book of Acts. And we're at the 8th chapter. We're going to read the opening verses, but we will be primarily referring to the end of the chapter. But as for an introduction, we will read the opening verses of Acts chapter 8. So many wee thoughts to be gleaned here, but we want to keep it central to the gospel. And we're going to read there from the verse 1 just to get the background to the situation that is confronting us here. This, of course, was in the days before Saul came to know the Lord. He had just stood at a martyrdom in the earlier chapters of Stephen with a desire in his heart to see this martyrdom carried out. It was with glee that he stood at that particular stoning. I believe that there's something that happened on that day which affected him greatly. I believe that it was a means of conviction in his own heart. I believe it was brought about by two things that he seen and heard as Stephen died for the Lord. Some people ask the question, why did God permit Stephen to die such a death? Well, the good book says it is appointed unto man once to die. I don't know what way I'm going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die, but one day I will die. And whatever that way will be at God's appointed time. And Stephen's ministry was complete. He died as a martyr. And as he died, he made two prayers. He knew where he was going. And dear friend, you can know before you die where you're going to spend eternity. You need to know. And before Stephen closed his eyes in death, he could say these words, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew where he was going, that it was going to be absent from the body in order to be present with the Lord. But not only did he cry, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, but before he fell asleep in the Lord, he cried with a loud voice. Where he got the energy from, I do not know. But it was a cry that all might hear. And as Saul stood on the brink of that martyrdom on that day, he heard this cry. And it was a cry for his enemies. And his cry was, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I believe it was what Saul heard this day, which brought about that means of conviction. But when eventually in chapter 9 the Lord dealt with him, you will read there that he had been kicking against the pricks. And I believe the death of Stephen had a great effect upon him. Now he wasn't content just to stand in total agreement with the death of Stephen. But his heart became harder. The Bible tells us in verse 1 of chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, when we're talking about the church in Scripture, we are not talking about a denominational tag. The church in Scripture are blood-washed and blood-bought people. I became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ on the 21st of February in 1982, when I knelt at the foot of the old rugged cross and, repenting of sin, received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. I became part and partial of the Church of Jesus Christ. I would ask you the question tonight, are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? It is the church here which was being persecuted. There was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and they and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Just let us unite our hearts together in prayer on how we need the blessing and the presence of the Lord to be our portion just now. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee indeed for the public reading of Thine own precious truth. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would indeed already have stamped that divine blessing upon our hearts of this reading tonight. We come before Thee now, Lord, acknowledging that we need Thy presence and we need Thy power. The enabling power of the Spirit of God, both not only to minister but to listen. And we pray tonight that Thou would be pleased just now to close us in with Thyself, to take away every distracting thought. And above all else, our prayer is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, might indeed have all the preeminence, in whose name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We have here this evening read this wonderful portion of Scripture concerning events in and around the time of this man who is drawn to our attention by the name of Philip. It had been at a time when Stephen had been martyred. In the opening verses of chapter 8, we discover that Saul, he wanted to persecute the church to a greater level. And therefore, we read about him going into the areas here, and he goes into homes and breaks up fellowship meetings, and he carries out his evil deed to the extent that the church at this time in Jerusalem were scattered abroad. And the Bible says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, why is it that God permits persecution at this particular time in history? Well, the Lord Jesus had already spoke to his own people, and he had requested them that they might go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it would seem to me up until now that they had remained here, and they hadn't taken the message of the gospel to further afield. And therefore, the persecution was permitted to come about. in order that it may be a means of scattering the saints, in order that the message might be spread further afield. And the Bible tells us that there was quite a number that were scattered. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God introduces us in the fifth verse of this chapter to this boy called Philip. And I discover that Philip had come down to this city called Samaria in order that he might minister and preach Christ unto them. I discover as he went out there and went out alone, he hadn't a band round him. He hadn't a fellowship meeting with him. He had went down into Samaria alone with the message of the gospel in his heart, and to our amazement, as he went in and amongst the people of the city of Samaria, the Bible tells me in verse 6 that the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. These people had an interest to listen to the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And dear friend, these people who had come out to listen to this man of God preach Christ, listen, these people were an ungodly people. The Bible tells us that many of them had unclean spirits. And up until this point of time, they had no time for God nor the things of God. And all of a sudden, this individual comes into their midst, and he's coming with the message of Christ and him crucified, believing in his heart that this is the only need for the hour. And it's the message of Christ and the Christ of the cross. And as he goes in amongst the people, the Bible says that the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For not only did they hear with their ear, but here were a people who responded in their heart. And the extent of the boy's ministry in the streets of Samaria, God used this one individual, sold out for God, in revival blessing. And the Bible tells me in the verse 7 or verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. What a change the preaching of Christ can make. And it's only the preaching of Christ can make the change in a heart and in a life. Now you can just imagine the buzz. You can just imagine the joy. You can just imagine the newfound fellowship that these saints are now having with the Lord and with Philip. How many there was, I do not know, but there were a big number. Revival blessing broke out amongst them all. And here the church was been brought together through the blood of the cross. And Philip, as it were, became their spiritual father, and they grew very, very close to him, and they were encouraged by his presence and by his preaching, and listen, they fell in love with their pastor, with their friend, with the one who sought their well-being in a spiritual sense. Now, how long he was there, I'm not too sure. But I believe that there was a bond that was now set up. There was that fellowship and friendship. And while he was here ministering the word, while he was here preaching Christ and encouraging the saints of God, if you want to turn on over in this chapter, turn to verse 26. Because the Lord had another job for Philip to do. And while Philip was in the midst of revival blessing, the Lord came to him suddenly one evening. And the Lord spoke to his heart. And the message from the Lord through the angel was this, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. This was God's directive will for this individual's life. The Lord was now requesting that he might leave this place of blessing, that he might say his goodbyes, that he might head towards the south unto the way that goeth down to Gaza. And here was God now relating his will for this individual's life. You will discover that he never told him exactly what he was going to do. He was stepping out in an act of faith. He was being brought to a point where he had to step out in accordance with faith in the leading of the Lord for his life. And maybe he could have made many an excuse. He could have said, Lord, what do you want me to leave here now? You can see how much my ministry's been blessed. But listen, he never questioned the Lord, for he knew that the blessing belonged to God and not in him. Salvation. It's of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. He says, Philip, I want you to go towards the south. Maybe tonight, in Lurgan Baptist Church, there's a young man or a young woman, and you have been struggling with this for a long time. God has been speaking to you about service, going in a direction that he would have you to go, and you're not just sure what you should do. You're uncertain of the direction where he's leading, and therefore you're holding back. My Bible tells me that Philip, in response to the call of God, his response in verse 27 was that he arose and he went. He just trusted in the Lord. He leaned totally and dependently by faith that the Lord who was directing him would direct him in the right way. So you can see him gathering the saints together. You can see in him saying his goodbyes. You can see the heartache and the heartbreak amongst the fellowship as they wave cheerio to their dear friend in Christ as he leaves their presence and heads toward the south. But why is it God is sending him in that direction? Well, we have the answer here in this passage. Take a look at verse 28. We're going to leave Philip. He's on his journey. He's heading towards the south. Then the Holy Ghost introduces us to another individual. This boy is known as the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says in verse 27, behold. In other words, sit back and take note. Stop, watch, and consider what's about to unfold. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, this man came from one part of the world, many hundreds of miles away. He had come with a train of people down to Jerusalem in order to worship. He was a very well-to-do man. That's the reason, of course, why he could take this trip. It would seem to me he was a very honest man because of the job that he holds down.
It would also seem to me that he's a very respectable man, and he has a certain amount of religion about him. There seems to be a change in this man's life, somewhat. And he has come that long journey with the intent that he might go down into Jerusalem in order that he might worship. And it is this individual whom the Spirit of God is requesting for you and I tonight in Lurgan Baptist Church to behold. Now, he had already been down in Jerusalem. It would seem to me that while he was there, and while he had went down in order to worship God, it would seem to me that he had picked up a passage of the Word of God. The passage that he had picked up of the Word of God was the book of Isaiah. And there in that portion of scripture that he had in his hand was Isaiah chapter 53. And he has now been down into Jerusalem. He has been there to worship. And the Bible says in verse 28, he was now returning home. And he was sitting in his chariot, and as he sat in the chariot on his road home with the Word of God in his hand, Isaiah chapter 53, he read the Scriptures. Now, when we talk about that phrase, salvation is of the Lord, you've got to grasp this. Because it is God who's in total control here. It is God who is bringing these two people together. And I want you just to get the scene. Here was this religious man. He had made the effort to get to the place of worship. He had said his prayers. He was reading his Bible. He was an upright, maybe a very self-righteous man. And you would have thought to look at him, my, what a supreme example of a Christian that this man is. And when he read the Bible, as he sat in the chariot, listen, he wasn't afraid to read it aloud. In fact, that's probably the way it would have been read then days anyway. And while he was on his road home, while he was sitting with the Scriptures in his hand, and he was reading from Isaiah the prophet, verse 29 says, listen, as Philip now was coming over the hillside, still walking by faith and not by sight, knowing that the Lord had led him in that direction, but just was not aware of exactly why, then the Spirit of the Lord came to him the second time. You see, when the Lord asks you to go in a direction, you can be sure he'll lead you through. He'll not leave you in the desert as a lost soul. And as he made his journey towards the south, listen, as that man was returning home, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, verse 29 says, then, at the right time, at the right place, in order to meet the right person, our God doeth all things well, then, the Bible says, the Spirit said unto Philip, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now Philip was aware of why the Lord was leading on that road. Now Philip had a decision to make as he left Samaria. But now the Lord was revealing to him why he wanted him to leave Samaria. Philip, I want you to go to talk to that boy. He had never met him before. Never seen him before.
And you know, there's a wee thing in the Bible called the fear of man can bring a snare. And maybe God at times, wherever you are, whatever you do in your Christian life, I don't care if you're a bricklayer or a plumber or a carpenter, you work in a shop, or whatever you do in life, there are times when God requests that we might speak a word for Him. And sometimes, just simply because of the fear of man, we can refuse to do it. Philip had no fear of man. In fact, my Bible tells me here that when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip and asked him to go and join himself to the chariot, his immediate response was this. The Bible says that Philip ran. Do you see that wee word, ran? I think that's a word of great importance. Because the work of God requireth haste. It's not to be done half-heartedly. And you can see him immediately. When the Lord spoke to him the second time, he requested that he might go and join himself to that man in the chariot. The Bible tells me that Philip ran thither to him. You said to me tonight, how do you know we read the Bible aloud? Because this verse goes on to say, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him. Read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip opened up the conversation. He didn't wait till the man spoke, because Philip knew that he was walking in the ways of the Lord and that the Spirit of the Lord was directing his path, and he knew that he was right smack bang in the center of God's will as he drew near to this individual in the chariot. And his first question to the boy was this, Sir, understandest what thou readest? And the sad thing of the matter is this, the man didn't know. You see, you can read the Bible like a storybook without really understanding its truth. And that's exactly what this man was doing. He felt because he was religious, he had worshipped, he had said his prayers, he'd read his Bible, maybe never done anybody any harm, that that was good enough to give him acceptance with God. Dear friend, it's not good enough. For our very best are but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And as Philip drew near, as Philip heard him read the scriptures, there's something else I want to bring out of this. As Philip drew near and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, Philip opened up the conversation. He said, Sir, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, there was more than Philip. There was more than the eunuch here. But Philip wasn't being sent to evangelize the crowd. He was being sent to the man. And when he opened up the conversation, I want you to get the thrust of this, because I believe that this is the verse where the whole message of the story hinges on. As he asked the question, understandest thou what thou readest?
He said in verse 31, listen to this, how can I accept some man should guide me? Now, who knew that he needed guidance? That's why the Lord sent Philip, in order that he might relate to him the truth that he was blinded of. How can I, except some man should guide me? And this man was ready, not only to listen, for he had asked Philip here, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? He's reading about Christ. That's why I believe that it is important that Philip ran. Why? Because if he would have just idled about, he would have missed the cross. You see, the Lord brought two people from different parts of the world together with a portion of the Word of God in their hand. And Philip, there along a dusty pathway, was able to bring and explain to the man concerning the place. We've been singing about it tonight. He was able to speak to the man about the person, which he didn't understand, but he was also able to proclaim the purpose. He was at the cross. You know, dear friend, as he got up into the chariot beside the man, and as they had read from this portion of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the eunuch answered in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? You can be reading about the Christ of the cross and the crucifixion and all that was taking place at Calvary concerning this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53. And yet be unable to understand it. You said to me, why could this man not see this truth? Because the God of this world had blinded the mind of him that believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto him. And as Philip got up and sat with him, and he desired that Philip would explain the passage to him by asking the question, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he speaking of himself or of some other man? Listen, child of God, you and I learned something here from Philip that's very, very important. You need to know your Bible. Because right away, as he requested by his question, when he asked this question, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Listen, then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And I can see him taking Isaiah chapter 53. I can see him explaining to this individual how all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I can see him explaining to him how it was he who was oppressed and afflicted. It was he that is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shear is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. I can see Philip explaining to him, it is he that is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Why? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. I can see him explaining to the man that it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he preached Christ and him crucified. He explained to this man that man, humanity, is sinful, but that Christ is sinless. And it's only a sinless sacrifice could make atonement for a sinful people. And there on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty of his sin in his own body on the tree in order that sinful man might be reconciled to a holy God. For the Bible tells us that there's none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and there's life and there's lasting joy. And Lord Jesus, thank God, it's found in me. And for the first time in this dear lost sinner's life, though he had been religious, though he had been to worship, though he had said his prayers and read his Bible and was now making his road home, listen, he was going home in the same miserable man as he had went up until this point when he met Philip. And as Philip had preached Christ to him, it dawned on his soul concerning his need of Christ. Because he began to ask questions. Take a look there at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. I always like that. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I put it to you, Philip had something to say about baptism to him. And Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This baptism, this act of baptism, is going to be an outward show of an inward act of grace within the heart. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And in response to Philip's statement, we have his confession of faith. And his confession was this, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not too much longer down the road, he had asked the question, who's the prophet speaking of himself or of some other man? But now it had dawned on his soul. And this was his confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was saved this day. He was redeemed this day. He was born again this day. He was washed in the precious blood of Christ this day. And also on this day, he made an open confession through the act of baptism that he had now been to Jesus for the cleansing power and he had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a day this was for this individual. It was a day that changed his life completely. Take a look at it. Verse 38. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now watch this. And when they were come up out of the water, watch, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. The work has been completed. It's all of the Lord. The Lord was the instigator of it. And he brought it to completion. And do you see the man? He didn't need Philip any longer. Why? Because he had found the Lord. And I want to tell you, when you have genuinely found the Lord, that's all you need. He's sufficient. And Philip was taken away. Now, there are many a question of how this happened. Boys of boys, we'll not get into that tonight. But I want you to see the man. I tell you, he's changed. For the Bible says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, never set eyes upon him again on earth. But glory to God, tonight they're together in heaven. And he came up out of the waters of baptism. Philip was caught away out of his sight. And my Bible tells me that this Ethiopian eunuch who had saw him no more, he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in what? Rejoicing that he had been to Jesus for the cleansing power. He was now washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he's what Paul spoke to the church at Corinth. He's now a new creature. And he's bringing a message back to Ethiopia of Jesus Christ and him crucified. My, what a wonderful change has taken place in this man's life. And you know, he's a man I want to talk to when I get to heaven. For I have no doubts that God permitted this boy to come to this knowledge of the truth, that he might be a means of bringing the gospel back into his own country, to his own family, to his own friends. And only eternity will reveal what God has done through that individual. And he went on his way rejoicing. Dear friend, I want to say something here tonight. This is a personal act of God in the life of an individual. Now, tonight we're looking at the Ethiopian eunuch. But it may be a personal experience that you're going to go through tonight. You see, you're not in this meeting by chance. You're here because God has permitted you to be here. And God has brought us together around the pulpit and around his word and, listen, around the cross, in order that you might hear the unsearchable riches of Christ and him crucified. And maybe for some time now you've been listening to this message through your pastor, and up until tonight you have yet to respond and you have been rejecting Christ. Listen, there's going to come a day when you reject him for the last time. I mind one night, and with this I'm finished. I mind one night down in Belfast in a meeting down there. And we were preaching just to a small group of people. There wasn't a big band of people like us in the meeting tonight. And it was a dark evening, maybe around about this time of the year, I'm not just sure, but it was dark and wet and miserable. And the folk had just come in. And there was a wee woman sitting here to my right-hand side, looking down from the pulpit. She was sitting there with her wee girl. And you know, she wasn't dressed up. In fact, the lady had a problem. And we preached the gospel. We told the people about Christ and what Christ can do for the sinner. You know, the lady sat there and, you know, she hadn't washed. And she began to cry. And I could just see the marks of the tears down through the dirt on her cheeks. And we were come to the end of the meeting. She was going out the door. And the man grabbing the lady by the hand, I says, "Dear, you know what you should do. You need to get right with God." This is what she said. She said, "Everett, I know. But I'll not do it tonight. I'll do it some other time.
She couldn't wait to get away. I watched her go out the gate and down the road. That was a Sunday evening. On the Monday afternoon, I pulled up to do a visit in the street where she lived. And as I stopped at the man's house, the brother's house, whom I was visiting, I looked down the street and I noticed a police Land Rover sitting outside. Now, that was nothing new for Belfast. Sometimes that was an everyday occurrence. But I walked into the brother's house and said, "Listen, Norman, what has happened down the street this morning?" And he sat me aside. He says, "Would you sit down there, Everett?" For he had been in the meeting. And he said, "You see the lady you spoke to going out the door last night?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Do you mind what you said?" I says, "I'll never forget it." Well, he said, "She came home from your meeting last night. She put a wee girl to bed. She came down and sat in the wee living area. Her husband went to bed about 11 and left her in front of the fire. When he woke in the middle of the night, he realized she wasn't beside him. When he came down the stairs, he found his wife sitting in the same chair just the night before where he left her. She had passed from time into God's eternity. Not tonight. I'll do it some other time. It never can. Dear friend, maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight. You know you need to be saved. Don't be foolish. Don't turn your back on the Lord any longer. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. For here in His Word, He has shown us the way. And here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, "Come." It's not the preacher that's doing the calling. It's the Lord. May God give you grace to come tonight. And may you leave the Baptist Church in Lurgan. May you go up that road rejoicing, knowing that I have sins forgiven. They're under the blood. Let us pray.